Welcome to the Traveling Senorita, episode number 78. I had a 2-week little hiatus, a little holiday myself, and I'm back. And I have found one of my travel colleagues, one of my all-time favorite women in travel. She's been in and around the industry for over a decade or so and absolutely knows the trends and the places to visit around the world. Obviously, there's been a lot going on in travel, and today I thought I'd bring Vanessa on to talk to us about her tips on the future of travel and just how it's been in the last 12 months or so, and how we can all start to look to the future for a brighter place to travel. Please welcome Vanessa Tecartley. Hello, Ness.
Hey, Kyles. Thanks for having me today.
You're welcome. You're one of my old friends, so I can call you Ness.
Yes, you can.
So let's talk travel firstly. In the sense of where you're at right now. So I'm going to start for you. Usually I start at the beginning and end where we are, but today I'm going to start just quickly putting you in the picture of who you work for right now and what a day in the life of Vanessa at work looks like.
I'm with the Flight Centre Travel Group, but I'm with Travel Associates, which is more their premium brand, the higher-end clients. What we're in right now is we're really excited to be working with some amazing domestic suppliers. We are still very much in that trying to get people home as well. There's still a lot of people out there across the world that have struggled to get home. So we're focused on getting people home, and we're focused on building the domestic market as much as we can.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to talk today a little bit about the future. So, but taking you back to last year as well, it was such a grueling year, particularly for people on the front line in health, but I would also say in travel. I mean, I put you up there with, in a way you were in one of the emergency service groups, getting people home, dealing with people that are overseas. How did it feel for you?
I think back at it now and it was a blur. Like, I almost can't remember it. It was probably one of the craziest times in my life, yeah. Those things happening. And yeah, it was definitely, it was intense. There was a lot of emotion involved, not just myself and my colleagues, but it was the emotion of helping people. I really felt like people didn't have anywhere else to turn except for their travel agent.
And that's why I think you became one of the frontliners, like there was that security of health across the globe, but as everything was shutting down, there's also like security of mental health and getting people, looking after people's well-being. And that's where I think you guys in travel, the travel agents, that the people, the airlines, they were the ones that were really having to step right up and change their whole career.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so what were some of the things that as you started to come out of the cloud, what were some of the things that you learned from that experience?
I think positivity, yep. There's no point in going down any rabbit holes.
Yep.
You've got to stay positive, and you can't help other people. The people that are stuck, you can't help them unless you remain a positive person to be able to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the major thing I've taken away, which we're probably going to talk about is going forward, is to slow down with your travel. We don't need to be rushing around everywhere.
Wow.
And I really believe that, we hopefully will have a movement the way that we have the slow food movement, especially around where we are here.
Slow travel.
Slow travel. Appreciate what you're doing. And we need to be able to take away those things and go forward in
the
future.
That's super interesting. So let's go back to 12 years ago when you started as a travel agent in Moranbah. So
yes.
You're from the Gold Coast originally. Yeah. And family in and around Stanthorpe and Queensland.
Yep.
And then you move to Moranbah, you're married, you have two kids, and you become a travel agent in Moranbah.
Yeah.
So is that the first time you got a taste of travel? Is that when you really got addicted to it?
I think I was addicted before then. I had a husband that wasn't born in this country, so we had traveled a lot with him. I got the taste. That was in those days where, and that's the thing that I'm saying, like with slow travel, it's really going to change, is that 12 years ago was round about the time, I believe, when you started getting those really low-cost carriers doing your Thailand trips, your Bali trips, things like that, that really opened up travel to a lot of Australians that may not have been able to afford mm-hmm. travel before. But what it also made was really fast travel. You could literally go, oh, let's go to Bali, for 4 days and come home. So it did become that very fast thing. So that's what I feel like when I went into travel 12 years ago, it was lots of little fun adventures like that, but nothing that you were really, you did the slow travel.
I did, you actually.
You did the very slow travel.
I did, and because that was funny. I don't know, you're right. And I think it's because I started travelling in my early 20s, and I didn't ever want to go somewhere that was popularised by tourists, which sounds crazy in the industry that we're in, because that's what I work in as well. But yeah. At the time, I just wanted to go off the beaten track. So, you know, when people were starting to fast travel, to agree with your term, to places like Thailand and Bali and what have you, sure, I've done them on the way home, but I always went off the beaten track and I took my time to explore a city. So I feel like you've touched on something really important there. So the fast travel, which made it affordable. So there is a way to still be affordable in travel and slow down.
Yeah.
What would be some of the trips that you would suggest for that?
Well, when we can travel again, I would say things like go to Italy, but do the back roads. Jump in a, hire a car, go with one of the tour companies that have the really small coaches that really get in and do those back roads. And instead of doing 6 countries on your trip, go and just do Italy for 2 weeks or 3 weeks,
right,
or things like that. Do the small, slow things. Enjoy the little tiny towns, because, you know, we know in Australia how much all the little tiny towns are struggling without tourists, and that's going to be the same all over the world. So
yeah,
we are going to need to get into those. The bigger cities will bounce back much faster. We need to get in and do the same thing.
So localization.
Visit the small businesses.
Yeah, I love that. And so before we went into lockdown, you went on a fabulous trip with fellow travel friends of yours to Morocco. And was that with Intrepid or something?
That was Intrepid, yeah.
So through your career, you get to sort of, before any of us do, find out, you know, what's happening in trends in travel and what travel guides to go with. Was Intrepid one of those trips that you said, I'm going to Morocco, I'm just going to go and check it out so I can sell it to my clients?
Yeah, exactly. Because they are one of those ones that I just said, you know, a smaller company that deal with companies that make sure they're giving back to the countries that they're visiting.
So they use local guides and
they
stuff?
They use local guides. They pay their guides really well. A lot of the time overseas, guides might just work on tips. So when you think about those poor people around the world right now, tour guides in so many countries, that's the only way they were earning money was through tips. They didn't have a wage. There's no JobKeeper.
And that's not good enough, is it?
No.
I don't think that's good enough.
No.
Because I watched, I don't know if you've seen it, it's called Sherpa on Netflix at the moment. It's really amazing, but it was so sad as well. Like, amazing as in the scenery and, you know, Everest and blah, blah. But it's Everest?
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
And I just thought about how they would be, they were already impoverished before they went into COVID, and now they have no international tourists there.
Yep.
But for them, they were having troubles with it anyway, because the sacred mountain was getting abused, they weren't getting paid.
Yep.
And so what that did was highlight to the Indian government that they need to actually support their locals, right?
Exactly.
So now they've come through with some benefit packages that they never had before. They're getting paid, so they're not working, but they're actually getting paid better than they ever were, which I just didn't think was good enough for international tourists and tour guide companies to not be supporting the Sherpas.
Yeah.
They were saying they were, but I don't know if you must watch it, because there's a revolt on the mountain.
Yeah.
The Sherpas turn against the tourists.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have a look at that. Well, that's the same. The Inca Trail does the same. They get paid per kilo that they, you know, so you do these like hikes, but when you're going with a company that doesn't have a good understanding of what's happening, you're literally treating people like pack horses.
So who's making the money then?
Those tour companies.
Right.
So,
okay.
So research. So that's the thing, even about slow travel.
Yeah.
Before you even leave, research who you're going with.
Yeah.
Make sure that they have responsible tourism charters.
But that's
behind
why
them.
You engage someone like yourself. So is Travel Associates, is their mandate to really look at, operators that are doing the right thing?
Yeah. So the whole company-wide has a responsible tourism charter, and that's to do with wildlife, that's to do with your tour operators across the board, making sure that when you travel, you are doing as best as you can not to hurt the planet. Go in there, wherever you're going, leave with what you entered the country with.
So we can talk about some of these figures, and if you don't want to, due to privacy, let me know. But I mean, it was pretty well publicised with Flight Centre. They employ, over 20,000 people in Australia. And in the first round of cuts, it went down to, 6,000 or so.
Am I right there? I can't remember the numbers. Like I've said, it was a whole blur last year.
Let's say a third, and then it went down to an eighth, and then it went down to literally what it is now.
Yeah.
So the company is nowhere near back over 20,000 employees, is it?
No, but we are seeing that they are definitely putting people back on as well. So we're seeing the light, especially overseas. You know, the Flight Centre Travel Company has got offices worldwide.
Yeah.
Australia, we're really working on that domestic part. But, yeah. I mean, other countries that are already travelling, there's parts of the company that are...
Well, that's probably how the business will come back.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And Flight Centre is an Australian company?
Yes. Yep.
Run by...
Yeah.
Screw Turner. who's got an incredible reputation in the industry. I always... one of the things I always followed from him was... Or learnt from him in business... was you start with a positive, you can put your negative in the middle if you want, and, yeah. and always end with a positive. He's yeah. got some. I mean, he's a guest speaker. Like, he's not just a CEO.
Yeah, I have so much respect for him. I look at that, and even now I feel confident with the company because, you know, when travel went online and everyone was saying things like brick and mortar travel agencies wouldn't survive,
yeah.
we not only survived, we thrived.
Amazing.
And that is because of always looking for the positive and growing. You know, any business, you're not going to survive if you remain stagnant.
Well, that comes from the top. That's his philosophy. Yeah, right. So, Ness, you were one of the ones that did survive in a really tough year. So, I mean, going down to, I don't know, skeleton staff workforce, that meant that somebody still had to do the work. So the people that needed to come home, the refunds, the cancellations, you probably weren't doing that many bookings, I imagine.
No.
So was it pretty much a whole year of just keeping people safe and making them feel secure about their finances and getting
them
back home
keeping them up to date. You know, it has been getting those refunds for people. We're talking about $10 million that Australians had spent on travel.
Wow.
And that money... Once you've booked something, that money goes overseas, whether it goes to an airline overseas or...
international travel.
We had spent $10 billion on travel. And getting that money then back. And if you book a trip, there might be 10 different people we've paid.
Yeah.
We might have paid an airline, we might have paid a hotel, we might have paid... And getting all of that back has taken time. But, I mean, I'm happy to say I feel like I'm at the end of getting everything back for all of my clients. But it's just the time, like, nobody's ever... gone through anything like this, and our systems, the machine wasn't built for going backwards so quickly.
I remember you telling me a story right in the middle of it, in the midst of the drama, where you said, you know, like, you had to book appointments from your end just to speak to a airline overseas and pay, I don't know, $100 to book an appointment and be in a line or whatever.
Yeah.
Was that just crazy times for you?
It was absolute. Yeah, it was incredibly crazy, but I have a lot of compassion for everybody that this has affected, down to the person that was booking their trip, and not only the monetary sense. You know, I had clients that had booked trips of their lifetimes. I had a 70-year-old that was doing an expedition, you know, that she'd never done anything like that before, and it was heartbreaking to see after all this work we'd put into their dreams. You know, like I always say, it sounds like such a, it sounds, you know, sometimes I feel like it's a bit of a cop out, but I always say we're not doing refrigerators. We're not selling you a refrigerator. We're selling you a dream.
Yeah.
And to watch those people's dreams that you're a part of, then go backwards.
Yeah.
Was really hard. So it was like watching that. It was the refunds. It was watching companies that, I mean, you're the same. You're in travel. People that get in travel do it for the passion.
Yeah.
And then to watch their companies, you know, go down because of no fault of their own. So you're watching that. You're watching colleagues get stood down.
Yeah.
It was incredibly rough for everybody, and I've got compassion for everybody, you know, and we are an agent, so we're working for the client.
Yeah.
But I do have compassion for everybody in the industry.
Which is why you're where you are, because you're patient and you're considered and you have compassion, which you need as a travel agent particularly. And I see you guys as being up here in the workforce, particularly with, you know, there will be more drama in the world, whether it's a pandemic or you're always going to be at the front line. And particularly if we travel again, I strongly suggest people use an agent. There's plenty of reasons why, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Just touch on some of the industry decimation. We also work, I always put tourism with events. So in my career, it's been tourism and events, and yourself as well. You travel for events, you know. So when Blues Fest cancelled, I mean, you and I, we just had that. We actually went out and had a few drinks because we were just like over it. We were like, really? Okay, so now we can't. All the creative thinkers are going to be locked up, is how I felt. That was my version. But it just felt like another thorn in our side.
Well, I feel like tourism, hospitality, events, the music industry, we're all very much linked, because that's what travel is about. You know, so much of travel is about food. Yep. So much of that is about visiting a restaurant, visiting a bar, seeing local musicians, that sort of thing. And so we are very intertwined, all of us. So even something like Blues Fest was so disappointing because that is a... It's an event. It's a travel event. Everybody comes here to do it. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to see it go ahead because I feel like it would have been the beginning of Australia getting back on track.
Yeah. It felt like it thwarted our creative process, didn't it? Yeah. It really felt like we were going backwards. A couple of weeks later, we're dusting ourselves off and we're going forward. So I would just talk about some of our mates that have, you know, street food and, you know, you gathered around friends of yours and made sure that they were okay and we sold their food and off we went. Because, as you said, you know, like it's sort of, we are the creative, passionate workforce.
Yeah.
But I feel like sustainability and some of those, I don't know, some of those 9-to-5 jobs, they were a bit more stable than us average kind of freelancers.
Yeah, I don't want to get in a negative space with anything, but so many people I've talked to this year go, oh, you know what, we haven't even really been that affected by COVID, or businesses are thriving.
Yeah.
Our businesses aren't thriving.
That's right.
And I feel like in some ways we've been overlooked.
But do you know what it does for us? Because we are the resilient creative types.
Yeah.
So we will find a way. If a brick wall presents itself, we can't go that way, can't go that way, we will get around.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I'm seeing now is some really creative, innovative ways of coming back.
Yeah.
Are you seeing that in your office, for example? Because you're still up in your office in Burleigh, working for Travel Associates. What are you seeing in there with your colleagues?
I'm lucky enough to work with a bunch of incredibly positive people. So it's still that excitement of even the booking the domestic. Yeah, booking the domestic, learning. You would think as Aussies, we know so much about our own country.
Yeah.
But I've spent so many years booking international travel that it's now, you know, becoming a, you know, with Tourism Australia, becoming a destination expert and things like that. And it's really opened my mind up to Australia.
Yeah.
It's like every time I, you know, learn a little bit more about it, I'm like, oh my God, I want to do this and I want to do that. And there's about 37 different places I want to visit in Australia right now. Before the
and
world
I'm
even
with
opens
you
up.
On that.
Yeah.
I always go, pick me.
Yeah.
But it's made me a lot more patriotic because I think, you know, particularly people like you and I, we're born with a passport in our mouth, but the majority of people that actually leave the island and go travelling overseas before they've actually seen their own backyard.
Yeah.
This is our kids. This is I forgot it was, holidays. It's a public holiday, so we're in a park. There's lovely children, but I actually love to hear children playing and dogs barking, so we'll go with that, Ness. But I think what it's done is actually that roam at home term that's been thrown around, or what is it, the other one, holiday at home.
Yeah.
Once people have actually started to get in their cars, they're not usually flying, they're actually driving. And,
yeah.
But they've done enough of that now because that's been a year or so.
Yeah.
So now are you seeing people come into the office and say, right, I want to book Uluru, I want to book WA, are you actually seeing that happen?
Everybody has done that. And even though there is so much trepidation about booking with the borders, it's unbelievable the lack of availability as well.
Because even though
half of Australia might be going, oh, I don't want to travel yet because the borders, the other half is...
I'm over it.
Yeah, and they are booking. So then that half that hasn't yet done that, there's not a lot of availability.
And how are you finding the airlines are bouncing back? What are you seeing in that sector?
Oh, gosh. I mean, the international right now, it's hard because there's not a lot of people, you know, going out there. They all are. Virgin's got new aircraft coming.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. I feel like they're doing okay.
Yeah, because that was one sector there. I thought was just going to go. Like, I mean, what did we lose? Tiger out of it.
Yeah, Scoot, Air Asia, all those ones have
gone. We've still got Jetstar, Qantas, Virgin, and Rex, and all that have stepped.
And Rex have expanded Alliance Airlines, which was traditionally a FIFO airline.
Yeah.
They're doing really well. They're expanding everywhere. They're privately owned as well. Pretty sure.
Yeah,
wrote me on that one. So. Alliance is doing incredibly well with
their
expanding their
flights,
networks.
Isn't it? Like, because I actually thought one of the things, maybe the doom and gloom got to me, but I was thinking the flights was going to be so expensive to fly.
I know, and they've been right. Yeah, I know. I was just actually meaning to have a talk about after this about New Zealand.
All right, we're off. I know, we're already going. Our first international trip. Look out. Oh, well, I went to Kangaroo Island and felt...
Did that feel like it was overseas?
Yeah, thanks for getting me over there. I felt like I'd... Well, because I was waving to the island on the way and... but they didn't want to see my passport. I just want to show my passport again.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Just so, take it as a form of ID.
Form of ID.
Flight to Sydney. Oh, sorry, I forgot to bring my license, but here's my passport.
Yeah, I love it. So tell me some of the trends you're seeing in booking with travel. What are people booking at the moment?
Kimberley's has been huge.
Wow.
WA is out of control. Hobart. Huge.
Oh, Tassie, yeah.
And Northern Territory, Uluru, everywhere like that. That's for you people, I guess, that...
couldn't get to Amalfi?
Yeah, and they haven't travelled. They've done a lot of travelling anyway. I guess people, you know, and quick and with families and things like that. Hamilton Island is out of control.
Yeah.
North Australia, Northern Queensland is out of control.
Yeah.
For those sort of things.
But that's actually good to hear because, you know, Hamilton Island had so many bad weather events and was decimated so many times with, like, cyclones and things that you wondered if that island was ever going to bounce back.
Yeah.
So it actually does show you that in life it does come in, you know, ebbs and flows.
Nothing's set in stone. I mean, that's the biggest thing that we all know in travel is that things keep on moving. You can't sit there and think that you ever know the answers to everything in the world because the world is a constantly evolving place.
Yeah.
And you've got to keep changing with
it. Well, I guess what you've done now is you guys will have resilience for pandemics. You may have had them for cyclones and weather events.
Yeah.
But I don't think you would have had them for pandemics.
No. And I know, well, SARS, you know, there was, you know, we've been through in travel, you know, we've been through tsunami. We've been through 9/11. We've been through SARS.
Sure.
I remember when this very first happened, one of the girls in my industry I was chatting to, and she said, I think she'd been with the US Embassy or something during 9/11.
Yeah.
And she said, I feel like this is going to be worse than 9/11. Oh. You know, so, and it's continued.
That word's been thrown around unprecedented, but it means that you just don't know the territory you're walking into.
No.
You've not been here before.
No.
So I think that was the shock around it.
Yeah.
And actually, I wanted to touch on you, Ness, because we've talked about your industry. And, you know, there's always a woman behind their work and work, your lifestyle and wellness is the most important thing. So how do you keep yourself going and what tools did you adopt through that really tough period last year?
Personally, meditation personally. And Pilates and close friends. And I think that's a lot of people in everything that went on last year.
Yeah, which in a way...
You had to and then that even rolls on to what I said at the beginning of this is when we can travel again a lot. A slower travel,
slower.
You know, which works with the Pilates and the meditation and the awareness of the planet around you.
So in a way, you through the negative scenario that we went through, you got a lot of positives there that weren't there before.
Definitely.
And that is, I mean, were you meditating before this all happened?
No, I didn't.
Did
even think meditation.
Pilates?
No, I didn't even think meditation was a thing that.
Wow.
You know, so it has been. It's been an amazing year. It's been what I can remember of it anyway.
Yeah, no. Well, it's, you know what it is? I love it.
It was a lot of gin.
So many positive things in it, and I watched you grow as a person spiritually, which was really nice to observe. I'm a little bit older than you, which doesn't mean I'm better than you, but it just means I've had to seek those things out just to sustain. And you've got that now. That's inside your blood. That's not going anywhere. But what I loved about with watching you was your ability to just keep getting up every morning and dealing with people that are in distress, you know, like you were wearing and holding a lot of other people's stuff. And the way you got through that was by meditation.
Yeah.
So you still did your job, but you didn't let yourself go down with the ship.
That big thing also, was boundaries.
Yeah.
Learning when to, I couldn't even help my clients overseas if I didn't help myself first.
Yeah.
So learning the boundaries then enabled me to help people more.
So you definitely are someone that should be in customer service on client facing, definitely. But I want to know, it's like Leroy. We have a mutual friend, Leroy, who I always said, you should be at the front when people come into the restaurant. You should be the meet and greet. So what are some of the things if people, you know, if you get a really troublesome person that is really like being abusive or just throwing it at you, how do you turn that person around?
You really let them know that you understand where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do get that. Even when we all get upset about things, it's about being able to show that person to maybe draw back a little bit from what they're so stressed about and that everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Just breathe and we'll get through it. There's also the thing that, you know, if someone's incredibly abusive, no one has to take that. You can actually go, you know what?
I'll give you a call back in a little while.
Yeah,
once you've calmed down.
That's a boundary.
Yeah, and everybody deserves having those. So yeah. That was probably another major thing. I do laugh about that now and go, I've become stronger in everything in my life because I definitely know how to deal with angry customers now. So yeah. I can do that in other parts of my life now as well.
Yeah, it's that's like, amazing. Yeah. And because the thing is, though, everyone just wants to be heard. That's the main thing. And I remember Leroy saying that to me. You know, he loves to turn anybody's problem into a solution and make them happy.
Yeah.
You know? But you can only do that if you're feeling centered.
Yeah.
As well. And what I watched you guys go through, as I said, you're on the front line in my eyes. You guys were on the front line. I was sort of behind that as a storyteller. You guys were literally dealing with the front line. Border protection almost.
Yeah.
And to watch you develop your skills personally and your resilience was second to none.
I think knowing that it's not a reflection on yourself. When somebody has to cancel their trip and they're requesting a refund or things like that, I didn't actually do it. I didn't create the pandemic, so I can't get upset about them having to do this. And I can't get upset about them expecting their refund today.
Yeah.
You know, I have to explain why that can't happen.
Yeah.
But I'm also, I would have. I love every single one of my customers to be really happy with their experience with dealing with me. And when everybody had to cancel, it suddenly felt like 100% of people weren't happy with your service, which wasn't right.
So you didn't because take it's not
no. Like, no. So you had to really go, this isn't me.
Out of my hands.
Yeah.
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 So you got growth from that because you know that you are good at what you do and this was something that was
you could only do your best. Yeah.
Yeah.
Step up to the table and
Where do you want to go to? Where's your first trip? Well, you said New Zealand, but where would be one of your international? Where do you think one of the international places that will really thrive when the borders all open up again?
Oh gosh,
there's so many.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I know you're a States lover, and it's probably been hard for you to watch that.
I know all of those memories keep on popping up.
Yeah.
I see that. I honestly, even in travel, I only just got my first, and that's probably why I brought it up earlier, I only got my first taste of the country that you love, Italy, and Spain the year before in 2019.
Yeah.
So you wanna go back? I want to get back. Yeah. And my mouth's watering right now thinking about it. I want to go back and do cooking classes. And
Well, you know, the good thing is because we all work from home now or we're all online everywhere. That's sort of that we went, I think we jumped 10 years.
Yeah.
Was one of the stats I heard in technology. So we can work from wherever we want around the world. You could actually set yourself up in Barcelona for 3 months and still do what you do.
Yeah.
Making your clients happy all across the world. Yeah. You know?
I think I saw at the beginning of this. Yeah.
I think
I saw at the beginning of all of this, you were doing some little online cooking classes with someone in
Italy. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And my Italian friend in Sydney, but also my Spanish friend here, they also jumped on and then we brought in
all their friends. Yeah. So, even though they've been amazing to keep, you know, to keep us having that urge to do things, I'm sick of the online cooking classes. Yeah, I want to do the real thing now.
Well, I think that's going to be even more important. I did an interview the other day and they said, can we do it over Zoom? And I said, no, I'm actually going to drive there and meet you. And they were really, it was with someone that's turning 100, has turned 100.
Yeah.
They were really happy with that. Because you've got to remember our seniors that are just, they're not used to, they're not going to be on Zoom. They don't like it. So they need to feel, you know, in their latter part of their years, they want to feel people again.
Yeah.
So I'm going to work in that area where I actually go back to the face-to-face because I was better at that anyway than I was in all the other platforms. I just think that human connection and human touch is going to be so important once we work out how to do it.
That's such a beautiful part about travel. Yeah. I've got people from all over the world, just from meeting people in a restaurant, exchanging details, all of those sorts of things.
Something I love about you.
That's the human connection.
We share the same town, Kingsley. There's something I love about you. You're always comfortable, and I do it as well, going to the movies on your own, going to a bar on your own. I think that comes from the confidence of travel.
Yeah.
Because we've always done that.
Yeah.
You know? Like, but you'll do that at home.
Yeah.
And I think that's just such a powerful thing because if you can't hang out with yourself, who can you hang out with? And you do that. You do that so well. So who and where inspires you? I haven't given you the heads up on this. I always end my podcast with a who and a where. So is there a person and a place or both? It can be a group of people, it can be anybody really, and a place that you are inspired by, that you think about when you have those times that are a bit challenging.
Oh, you've got me stumped now.
No, I don't know. You've been to so many places.
People really, everyone inspires me that gets out there and tries things and
So that's a personality type. Yeah. People that get out there and try things and are not afraid.
Yeah.
Feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yeah.
Love it. And where's a place that you think of? If you're sort of ever needing a bit of inspo, is there somewhere that comes to mind for you? It can be the ocean, it can be the valley, it could be a place.
A really cool bar in New Orleans.
I knew you were going to say that. I actually nearly said it for you. I thought to myself, if she doesn't say New Orleans, because I know how much that makes your heart sing, literally, the musicians, the people, the community. Yeah. Is that where you teleport yourself?
Yeah. Anywhere we travel that is also known for their music as well.
You know, right.
Argentina, jazz bars in New York. Yeah. Any of that sort of stuff.
Blues Festival Splendor.
Blues Fest.
I got you now.
Yeah.
Let's shout out to Mama Trish too. With the Senorita.
Yeah.
Senorita Mama Trish and her Mexican
truck. Yeah.
Because we get that locally, which makes us feel like we've traveled to California or to Mexico.
Yeah.
We've got a family behind us playing soccer, full disclaimer here. So I'm going to wind this little baby up. Is there anything else you would like to say before I... For any inspo on travel
worlds? Not inspo. I will do a little plug at the end and go, when you're thinking of travel, please use a local travel agent. I loved that we really embraced this year small businesses helping the local community. And you are helping the local community when you use a local travel agent, because we put our money back into it. I go and spend my money in the restaurants and the bars and the tourism operators and everything in this town, because of the fact people use me.
Oh, hear, hear, sister. I utilize your services, and you there's no one like you in the industry, in my opinion.
Babe.
So thank you so much for joining Travelling Senorita today. Let's go travelling.
Yes. Thanks
Ciao.
For having me, darling. Bye. Bye.